another Republican making rumblings about how he doesn't like this budget, therefore, is Waukesha area Senator David Craig, who I've asked to appear on the show. He joins me now. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Jay. How are you?
I'm doing well. So are you a second no vote here? Is this GOP budget in trouble on its own?
As the budget stands, I am a no vote. And it is largely for what Senator Knotts has articulated. My concern at the outset and my ask of the Finance Committee, of our leadership, is to keep a budget within what I think is a responsible area. Keep it within the Consumer Price Index. If you have to increase funds, keep it within CPI. And this budget fails that measure remarkably so. So even taking the most Madison math, blue smoke and mirrors type of estimate as to where we're at in spending right now, the budget still outpaces the Consumer Price Index by more than a two-factor. So what we're not doing is sharpening our pencil enough. What we're not doing is reforming enough. And the problem is, because we've neglected our reforms in programs like transportation while we had a Republican administration that we could trust, we are now behind the eight ball. And so now when you have a legislative line item veto, you have to be even sharper when it comes to spending, because the governor can only reduce spending with his legislative line item veto, but he can veto out in totality reform measures. So we're in a tough spot right now. The Joint Finance Committee, like you said, has improved the governor's budget remarkably. But to say that we can go back to our taxpayers and say, hey, we're gonna blow the lid off of an inflation limited budget, I think is irresponsible at this point.
Yeah, and if you decide you're a no vote completely, some changes might be coming, but if you're a no vote, that would mean this is a 17-16 difference, and one more would ruin this for Fitzgerald and Voss. You know, last week Speaker Voss was on the show, and he told my listeners that the additional spending in this budget is within the rate of inflation or so, 3-4% would be the inference. But that's also some Madison math. You, as someone who approaches these budgets, has always looked in terms of how much overall spending we're doing, and that increase is higher than 3%, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this comes down to what a small business, how a small business person makes out a budget, how a family makes out a budget. I've got six kids, and in Madison, what they do is they take the second year of the biennium, and they call that the base year, and then they double it. And that's what you start with for the next budget. And so what happens is you superficially inflate the starting point of the next budget. And so I think it's nuts. To look at how an individual family isn't going to say, how much did we spend in the last 6 months last year? They're going to take a better estimate of the overall year that they just spent money in whatever their expenses are. They're going to use that as the baseline. They're not going to pigeonhole the second half of the year. And so even if you take that measurement, just taking the base year doubled, we're still at about a 5-6% increase in spending. But my point is, we're not being honest. What we should be doing is taking the full totality of the picture, the last budget over the course of 2 years compared to the upcoming budget over the course of the next 2 years. And the way I measure government spending is the actual size of government. Because at the end of the day, regardless of how you're spending that money, every dollar that goes to state government has an offsetting effect, dollar for dollar, on freedom, economic liberty and freedom for families across Wisconsin and businesses in regulation across Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be honest about how you measure government spending in Madison, take the whole number, the two-year spending of the previous biennium compared to the next two-year spending. That's honest budgeting. And if you compare those numbers, then you're approaching almost a double-digit increase in spending, and that is totally unsustainable.
Wow.
And it sets us up for an even worse budget next time using Madison math.
Well, and you know, because the economy grows and additional tax money revenues, you know, are pouring into the state coffers, you can spend more money year to year without raising taxes year to year. However, I mean, and I've been giving Republicans in Madison credit for their responsible budgeting for the last 8 years under Governor Walker, but I've also consistently pointed out, look, we're still spending more every single budget. Conservative control in Madison has not meant less spending. The embarrassing, you know, it's less spending than the Democrats would have done. But just by comparison, to me, this is a rather embarrassing stat that exposes this. Governor Doyle's last budget spent $62 billion over 2 years. Walker's last budget spent about $74 billion over 2 years. This budget has us hitting nearly $80 billion in spending over 2 years, or nearly $40 billion in spending per year. That's not trying to rein in spending, I don't think.
Yeah, and so what those figures omit also is our capital spending.
Right.
And so capital spending, which, granted, do we need to improve or maintain existing state facilities? Absolutely. But the capital budget in this budget far outpaces way outpaces where we've been in previous budgets as well. So what
new spending is most offensive to you, or what do you least like about this budget? If you're a no vote as it stands, what could change to make you a yes?
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different areas. I mean, for one thing, I'm skeptical of how we're going to spend transportation money to the extent that we're bringing in, the amount of revenue that we're bringing in, and how we do it in this budget. Furthermore, we're still engaging in what I think are fiscally reckless policies, like continuing the stewardship program. This is a sacred cow that many of us came to Madison in 2010, 2011, looking to stop. Right now, the public, in one shape or another, owns about a fifth of all land in Wisconsin. We continue down that path, and we continue to invest millions upon millions of dollars in that program, all the while spending millions upon millions of dollars just paying interest on borrowed money. Yep. To fund programs like the stewardship program. And that is a sacred cow of some on the right and most on the left. But if we're going to get serious about reining in spending and keeping a sustainable amount of government control of land for the future, we need to get control of ourselves and have an exercise discipline on how that program is run. And it's something that would be as simple as returning to a freeze that the Governor Walker had.
Yeah. I agree with that. That listeners know that program has always driven me. It's driven me crazy recently. Look, it served its purpose. We don't need to keep buying up more and more private land and taking it off the taxpayer rolls and taking it away from people who should be able to own it privately. I've also heard you mentioned the Department of Transportation. I've heard from a few other Republicans as well. They're upset that this budget doesn't do more in the way of DOT reforms that still haven't been addressed, even under Governor Walker. You're one of those who I think would say there are still efficiencies and reforms that still need to be realized here at the DOT before we raise fees and borrow more money.
Yeah, and I fought for 4 years to put an inspector general, a legislative inspector general, one that works for the legislature, for the chairman of the Transportation Committee, for the chairman of the Audit Committee, for the chairman of the Oversight Committee, of which I am, and to make sure that we have eyes and ears inside the agency, a mole telling us what is going on inside the agency that has a level of fiduciary background that can tell us where waste, fraud, and abuse is occurring. Based on a contracting perspective, based on a practical perspective, let the legislature know real time what's going on inside the agency, because what we have is an audit that's still staring us in the face that told us over the course of 10 years, had the DOT obeyed the law, obeyed its own administrative rules, and complied with its performance goals, it would have saved taxpayers about $300 million. That's an audit of half the agency. So what we haven't done is audited the other half of the agency. What we haven't done, because our leadership and governors of both stripes now have resisted putting a legislative inspector general inside the agency. And this is a problem for the public's trust of the executive branch of government. If we continue to neglect transparency inside the administration, then how is the public ever going to gain any sense of security in that their money is going to be spent wisely inside that agency?
Yeah.
And so that's a reform I think has been crucial and continues to be resisted in Madison. And so I think that's regrettable. But again, at the end of the day, even if it passed in the budget, the governor could line in and veto it. And it's because we haven't made responsible decisions based on transparency in the past. But we need to keep advancing those conversations.
We're talking with State Senator David Craig. According to Mark Belling, Scott Fitzgerald says the provision that I hate, another provision I hate here, that allows as few as 9 members of the Joint Finance Committee to impose a new mileage tax on us in the future. According to Fitzgerald, that will likely be pulled out. it doesn't sound like if that is pulled out, that gets you to yes. Though what I hear you saying essentially is you can change the wig on a pig, but it's still a pig. It's new spending that you object to more than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that provision is so egregious, should never have been put in the budget in the first place. And furthermore,
I was shocked to see Republicans put it in.
And then you start to get to the brass tacks of how such a program would be implemented. And you're putting aside the fact that it's terrible governance, where you do allow a select membership of the legislation to make those astonishing decisions. How would you implement that? You put GPS tracking devices on cars? Are we going to be monitoring people's day-to-day travels? Such a scheme is, I think, so reprehensible. I don't know what level of administration of such an idea would be acceptable to Wisconsinites. I clearly don't think so, and my constituents wouldn't think so. Right.
So Fitz and Voss say, look, we're bonding over $500 million less in this budget. We're taxing for $1 billion less. We have a bit of an income tax cut here. We have a little bit more in the rainy day fund. This is a budget that is similar to what we would have submitted to Scott Walker. Do you agree?
I think to a little bit more extravagant extent. I voted against Governor Walker's last budget. I think it spent too much money. And people call me Dr. No and Madison and things like that, whatever. At the end of the day, there's no way on earth Wisconsinites are spending 10% more in their households, in their businesses, maybe in some situations. But, the economy is improving, but the economy is not government proof, and the government can have wet blanket effects. And the leading way that the government does that is by overextending its obligations and overextending its spending. And so I think we need to be much more conservative in how we do that, not only from a freedom perspective and the size of government perspective, but to make sure that we don't have a smothering effect on the economy, because the larger our bureaucracies get, the more regulation you can see in the private sector. And that's something that we need to be very mindful of, regardless of who the governor is, Republican or Democrat.
Well, we're talking with State Senator David Craig. It sort of brings me to my last question here. You have mentioned Governor Evers and the power that he has with that veto pen. The Republican leaders, I think, would my sense is they want to get a budget done that gives Governor Evers enough of a win to be satisfied and then not argue about this all the way through fall. And they're taking the approach that, well, he did win the election, voters did elect Tony Evers. What's wrong with taking this approach?
Yeah, and I think elections do have consequences. But that doesn't mean that the legislature shouldn't do its job. And I think we are doing our job if we do a little bit more responsible job of how we spend state money. And like I said, I don't think there is any reason that we can't keep our state spending within a level of the consumer price index increase. It's about a 2.2% increase, which would be allowed under CPI. So I'm not saying, hey, we can't grow the government. If we want to grow the government, fine, do it responsibly within that mark and demonstrate to the public why that's responsible. That yes, Governor Evers came to office, that we could allow even some level of increase in spending to accommodate the fact that elections have consequences. But what we don't need to do is go as far as we've gone toward Governor Evers and not have him come our way. And so, yes, there is a level of compromise that I think we need to have a budget get done at the end of the day. But we need to be much more careful about it. And we need some assurances from the governor that if reforms are in there, we need to work to make sure that he demonstrates publicly that they would stay in there and that he would not veto them. And the governor has not demonstrated to Wisconsinites that he can be trusted at this point, particularly when it comes to legislative affairs.
Senator David Craig, just to sum up, you are a no vote on this GOP budget blueprint as it stands, and you don't think smaller changes can get you to a yes. Is that fair?
Oh, that's fair.
Okay. Thanks for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is Waukesha, Vernon area, Senator David Craig.